Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
we talk about the great American band Los Lobos. Hey, Patrick, do you know what Los Lobos translates to in English?
No, I've always wondered that. What is it?
The Lobos.
Nice.
Okay, Patrick, we're doing a patron episode today, and this is going to be a really good one for two reasons. One reason, here on Rockin' the Suburbs, I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
One reason is that I know the listener who's on today is really excited about this topic. He's been wanting to do this topic for a little while, so I'm happy to finally make dreams come true for Tim Hoffman. Hey, Tim.
Hey there. How you guys doing?
You doing well?
How's it going?
And then the second reason is because Tim's wearing a brown shirt. That's the other reason why it's exciting. That's right. For this. He's a fellow Cleveland Browns fan.
That's right. As we record, folks, it won't be long now until the Browns kick off a game, which is exciting.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah. If they lose go this Browns. One, then forget it. Then
just gotta be better than last weekend.
All right. So for listeners who are not familiar, when we do patron episodes, these are people who help support the show through our Patreon account, and they get to come on every so often and pick the topic for the show. And so I mentioned Tim was excited about this topic. So what are we going to talk about, Tim?
Thanks, Jim. Yeah, I've been looking forward to this for some time. And I mean, there's a lot going on now recently that's really got my my mind tuned in again to Los Lobos, who has been around since like 73. So this is a band that's, they've been together almost 50 years.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it's nuts.
It is.
But it's so good. And I had never seen them, listened to some stuff, and I'll talk about these three records. But, I did catch them recently live down in Dawswell, Virginia, playing an outdoor show in early September. Great. And the first time for me to see them live, I'd always heard about their live performances. And, finally, after, 25 plus years, especially after these records I'm going to talk about, I've been like, that really got me, interested decades ago. Now it's been, I'm like, I got to see these guys live. It just never worked out. But finally, I got to see them. They've got a new record out that's called Native Sons. A lot of, it's mostly, it's a love letter to East LA to LA, and a lot of the songs and bands that they were influenced by growing up, and one original song on that record. So that new record, catching them live recently, and just a resurgence of my love for these three records that I'm going to talk about today.
Okay. So you've mapped out three in particular you want to talk about. We'll get to that in a second here, but just tell me real quickly, did you first get interested in Los Lobos back when they kind of broke big in the 80s, or was it a little bit later on?
Yeah, I think that's part of what I wanted to talk about today, because, like every other person who was, in college or, like in my early 20s or however, I was like 19, 20, early 20s when like they really started to get some attention, and especially I think it was 87 maybe when the La Bamba song was really big. That's where they just like, everyone in the country knew who they were, because of the song and the movie, which is a remake, a remake of a famous song. And I knew of that because I heard it on the radio and, and some of the other stuff that came on their first couple LPs, really got a lot of attention, especially on indie radio or like college radio. But I didn't have any of their records then because I heard it all the time. It wasn't anything conscious. I wasn't collecting albums at that time, by the way, because LPs were kind of on the way out. Mm-hmm. And my record collection was just kind of sitting in the basement at home being pilfered by, others in my family, and I never just lost it over the years. But I'd never had any of their records until these three that I that I got. Yeah.
Okay.
So it was later that I kind of really did a deep dive into their music.
Yeah. Makes sense. Okay. So what are the three records you want to talk about?
Excellent. Yeah. These are three records that came out. The first in 96 is called Colossal Head. 99, 3 years later, a record called This Time. And the last of the three that I'll talk about was released in 2002, called Good Morning, Otsalon.
All right. Which Patrick, before we were recording, showed that he just recently got that third one.
Just came across it. Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, these records, to me, you know, when they came out, I was overseas. I was living in Japan. And for some reason, you know, just picked up the Colossal Head off of the out of the bins, you know, at the Tower Records in Nagoya. And like, okay, Los Lobos, you know, I know of them, you know, but I'll check this out. And what I love about this record was, I think I was searching at this time. I had been gone from the country for like, you know, 3 years, and I was just trying to reconnect and just like was really eager to listen to some, you know, American music. And what I learned at that time and started to, you know, think about more is like Los Lobos is an American band. Los Lobos is a great American band because of what they do, what they produce is diverse. They have, you know, mm-hmm. a number of styles that they're very adept at. You know, they can, you know, pull out just a straight up rocker. They can, you know, play some traditional cumbia or, you know, other Mexican music. They can play, you know, jazz, psychedelic sorts mm-hmm. of stuff, just weird avant-garde stuff, and, you know, soulful sorts of music. And to me, this makes them a great band. Their linguistic, their cultural, you know, diversity, they bring a lot to the conversation, and they, I think, represent our country as good as or better than most rock bands. And they stand the test of time. Like I said, yep. 48 years together. Dave Hidalgo, Luis Perez, Cesar Rosas, and Conrad Lozano. Those four have been together since 1973.
Amazing.
And it's just amazing. And I think it's been said before, but David Hidalgo's voice is maybe one of the best voices in American rock. He's just, mm-hmm. there's something about his voice. It's very warm. It's just, I think he has a great voice. You can't go wrong with him.
Totally agree. Totally agree. It never sounds forced either. It's just totally natural, right?
It's very natural. Just, it comes off really, really well. So Colossal Head starts off with a song called Revolution. And, you know, to me at that time when I was really loving this album and talking to some friends overseas about it, I had a good friend, who got into a bit of an argument because his feeling was, why don't they just go back and play something like La Bamba? That's, you know, he wanted to go back to like this sound that they were, you know, playing in the late 80s, maybe on some of their first records. And I was more like, wow, this record is different and I like it, you know. And but these first two songs, I don't think you can find a better, you know, starting track, and then, you know, follow up with Mas y Mas. So Revolution and Mas y Mas, but you can take it one at a time. Revolution's a great song.
Burning, burning, all so cool and gone.
I love it. It has sort of a later period Motown feel to me, you know?
Yeah.
Like it could be, it could be on like What's Going On or something like that, you know?
Yeah, it's just that, you know, it's, there are a number of things that stand out to me in that song. Like the first thing is just like that steady, nonstop cowbell just, just keeps hitting that thing. And it's like, it just drives the whole song. And there's a nice little like run on the like floor toms or something before he kicks into like the vocals on the chorus or on the verses. So it's just such a neat song. There's some accordion there. There's just all sorts of stuff. And this is, I think, one of the things that I love about Los Lobos is they're multi-instrumentalists. Everyone in the band plays a number of instruments. And in the delivery, like when they play, and in the recordings that you can hear on their records, they're very, I think they're very generous, and you know, I think it's a good thing because it results in great music. They get out of the way of each other and let, you know, you'll hear the percussion kind of in the front here for this part, and then you've got, you know, a violin or a flute or, you know, soprano sax, or and everybody gets their moment to shine in the song. And so, you know, it's very rich, diverse, you know, sound that you get from this band. And it changes, like I said, from, you know, something that's up-tempo rocker like that, or something that's more soulful, when, you know, they know how to make the sounds that I think they're thinking about. So it's really neat. Patrick, what do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree, Tim. And one thing I was thinking about, too, is not only because of their heritage and growing up in L.A. and such a, you know, I wouldn't call it a, I guess it is a melting pot, right, in some ways, and East L.A. and all that. And but also the amazing amount of bands that they have played with. Like, I once saw Los Lobos open up for the Grateful Dead, which you never think would be something that would happen. But it was amazing, and everybody totally dug it. And they used to play a version of Bertha, or I've heard it, or I have it somewhere.
It's great. Yep.
And also they played with, you know, punk bands, right?
Right.
They played with all the punk bands, X, and all that whole Slash scene, too. And it just seems to me they always were so attentive with everybody they played with, and all those years and years of being on the road and being in dives and being in big arenas and playing on TV and all that stuff. But they always were such consummate musicians that they absorbed everything. They never thought they were above any kind of music or what they were doing was better than anybody else. They always took a piece of something from everything. They just, they seem to have this tremendous respect for any kind of music or any musician that makes music that always has endeared this band to me. And I think it goes right along with what you were saying, too.
Yeah. They just sort of know what good music is and genre, who cares, right?
Yeah,
and they're like a funnel in. They're, like you said, absorbing all this stuff and funnel into this point, which is their band. And then it's a funnel out again, right? Like mix it all up.
Totally.
And then put it back out. Multi-genres in different ways, right? You know,
like Tim was saying, just a fulcrum for American music. What better representative could you really pick? It's amazing.
Boy.
Yeah,
they just make me. I mean, at that time when I was first getting into this record and like really like, wow, Los Lobos is way more than I had thought. You know, in my very limited exposure to them and like those, you know, couple songs on college radio, I'm like, all right. I wonder if I could just focus for a second before we leave this record for the moment and just focus, like I said, great opening track with Revolution. But also, I can't tell you how many times this second song on this record, Mas y Mas, has saved me from like a bad, maybe a bad day where I'm just like, God, I don't know how much more of this. All right. I think on my way home from work or, you know, sometime when I have some time, I'm going to blast this song so loud. And when it gets to the guitar solo, I'm just going to, like, enjoy it. Because this is one of, I'd say this is in my top five favorite guitar solos in a song of anything that I can think of. Just a great song. We'll be right back.
Yeah, that's super hot.
If you're ever driving down the road and you hear that blasting from some other car,
that's your car.
That's probably my car.
That's gotta be Hoffman.
That's right.
Just to kind of change gears a little bit here on, you know, like to go back to like these three records and some context here, because there is so much about these three records that I love, because it's, I don't even know how to describe it. You know, like it's experimental. I saw one review called it backyard surrealism, you know, studio trickery, you know, but I think one of the reasons is because one of the side projects that David Hidalgo and Luis Perez had just a couple years before Colossal Head came out was they were in a band with a couple other people, producers or engineers. I'm not familiar with everyone in the band. It was definitely Hidalgo and Perez in a band that's called the Latin Playboys. Hmm. And this record came out in 94, so it was a couple years before Colossal Head. It's really experimental. There's just a lot of, seems like home recording stuff, like people, you know, recordings of like conversations or partial conversations and just all sorts of stuff going on in the studio I'm not really familiar with. But what I hear on Colossal Head and this time, and even to an extent, Good Morning Gotsalon, is a lot of the influences from that experimental period that they went through. So if I could focus on, maybe it's not going to sound like Revolution or Mas y Mas or some of the older stuff, but I think off of the second record, This Time, I believe. Mm-hmm. I think there's a song called Oh Yeah. I think it's maybe the second track on the record that is just, there's a lot going on in that song. I'm not really sure what it is, but it's very different from those other songs, and I think has a lot of that Latin Playboys influence in there.
Okay, cool. It's like it's slinky.
Yeah,
that's a great word. Yeah.
It's just so neat, and I think, you know, there's like they kicked on the reverb on the saxophone there and it just sounds really really cool. There's something about that song, and This Time has a couple songs that are kind of like that. The song right after that called Viking is just I'm not sure, it sounds like he's got one of those bullhorn effects on the microphone, and there's a tenor saxophone on that song that just like really, there's a lot of good saxophone on This Time, but I love how they bring those horns into the mix here on those records. They've always been good at that. This time, I don't want to. I'm just focused on that song, but it's just such a good record. All of these records, I could do a whole episode on each one of them, just because they're so good, and they to me they just like fit together. It's almost like a single album. If I just play these three through straight from beginning to end, the first track on Colossal Head to the last track on Good Morning Aztlan, I think it's just such a strong string of records. But I think for the final thing I want to focus on with Los Lobos is that they are soulful. There's a lot of heart. There's a lot of love. There is just so much to them that I think, their respect and love of music, their pride in where they come from, their pride in their people, their pride in their culture, their language, and they're very reflective of, like, I think they receive a lot of love from people, and they reflect it back. And I, as evidenced, I think, in the last two tracks on Good Morning Aztlan, which is a great record from beginning to end, but the last two tracks, I think, just rival Soul of, you know, pretty much any other song. The one track is called, I think it's What in the World? And the last track, Round and Round. But What in the World sounds like a song that was written 50, 60 years ago. Maybe it's just one of those songs that was always around even before it was written. What a Wonderful World, Louis Armstrong singing that just sound like it was always around. That's how I feel about What in the World. And it's just a sweet song. And I think just their ability to kind of change the way they sound and their delivery and how they want the listener to feel when they play. So give this one a listen. It's a good one.
We don't seem to see eye to eye. Our arms reach out.
Sounds like a song that, you know, played at my father's, you know, sock hop back in 1953 or something, you know, like
Specialty Records 1954 out of LA.
It's just such a good song. It's just like that's and that's the way, you know, same thing with like this most recent record. Like the title song called Native Son is the only original song on the record. It's all the other stuff is cover. But when David El Dago introduced it, when I saw him live, he said, hey, we decided to, you know, put out this record with mostly covers and then one original song, which we wrote like as a cover. Like they were imagining writing a cover of one of their songs or just like a classic song. And it's the same kind of like, wow, this song was just kind of out there forever waiting for someone just to write it down. You know?
That's awesome.
You know, I think if I were to pick a closeout song for this episode, I'd have to pick maybe one other song off of this time, I think it's on this time, is and they need something in here. When I saw them in Doswell, like they were all English language songs, and a lot of what I love about Los Lobos is in Spanish, and I still struggle with the translation, and maybe I don't understand everything about the song, but there is a song on this time called Corazón, which translates as heart, and it's, I think, a nice wrap-up for this episode, and just has a lot in there. Like, you know, it's my wife listened to it the other day, and she said, that sounds like I was explaining the lyrics. You know, when you told me you didn't love me, it felt like a knife in my heart. Why are you leaving me if you don't come back? I don't know how much longer I can go on. A lot of, like, really sad things like that. And she's like, that sounds like a traditional Japanese enka, which is like that kind of like a sad, you know, crying in your beer kind of music. And this song is like that. It's just very heartfelt, really sweet, and in Spanish, and beautiful.
Yeah. Every culture has those kind of songs, don't you think, Tim?
Yes.
It's universal.
Time to cry music.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks very much, Tim. This has been awesome. And the thing I like about this is because you picked three albums in particular, not an overview of the whole band, is, you know, if you want, we can always revisit this band at another time.
Absolutely.
Right? And hit up another era or other records, right? So that's a pro tip for you patrons out there. If you have a band that you're particularly excited about, don't come with the whole discography. Just pick, one or two, or in this case, three records, and then, you know, you can keep revisiting it, right? So there you go. All right.
And for the listeners, you know, just not to turn over every stone, but, like, I really recommend, like, listening to these records and the other stuff, and just check out, like, how experimental they can get at times, how traditional they can get at times, how in your face, you know, the rockers can be, and how sweet and sad some of their songs, like the song Corazón, can be. And it's just, they're just, I think, you know, I've gone on the record, others have argued with me, but I'm like, this is America's greatest rock and roll band.
Mm. Cool.
And there's, you can still see them live.
That's awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah, I'm planning to do that. All right. Thanks very much, Tim Hoffman. Now,
thanks, Tim.
Certainly to
Thank
listeners
you guys.
Out
thanks,
there,
everyone.
If anyone wants to comment on Los Lobos, it can be these three albums. It can be other thoughts you have about Los Lobos or experiences seeing the band or whatever. You can call and leave a message, and we'll get your voice on an upcoming show. The number is
612-440-1984.
There you go. Or email rock@suburbspod.com, or find us on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram at suburbspod. All right. Thanks again to Tim. Let's get out of here. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And with us has been
Tim Hoffman. Thanks, everyone.
Yep. We'll talk to you all later. ¿Cómo puedo? ¿Cómo
November 3rd, guys, we could road trip to Cleveland. They're playing at some place called the Music Box Supper Club, which sounds like a pretty good place, too.
That'd be great.
You get a dinner with that. A hot dog and a bag of chips. Yeah.
Do the Browns have a home game around that time? Can we make it
find out.
There you go. That's the package tour.
There it is, right? Yeah.